Amen. Thank you, Father. Tonight our sharing is going to be on basically three titles. We'll figure out which one it is. One is CINO, C-I-N-O. An acronym means Christian in name only. So we have a deal called RINO, R-I-N-O, Republican in name only. And I thought, well, really, majority of the Christians are CINO. They're Christian in name only. You know, the ones who vote Democrat in the United States are not Christians. But they go to their church, they're Catholic and Protestant, they go to their church. And what's amazing, because they're voting for sodomy and abortion and murder and everything else. And the ones that they hate, which is usually the Mormons, and the Mormons vote more Republican than Catholics or Protestant. Or it also could be called, are you an instrument for Satan, or Satan? Or it also could be called, is building a foundation upon water, sand, or rock. So we'll begin in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. And that's a place where it says Satan appears as an angel of light, and his ministers appear as angels of righteousness. And so when you're saying, are you an instrument of Satan? Here's just an example. Now, we had a flood last week in the United States that killed 100-some people, and one was a Christian camp of children being drowned. All right, but from a Christian, this is Anne Graham Lott, which is Billy Graham's daughter, posted this. And here she has him in heaven. Back when Billy Graham died, her father, this was posted. Okay. And so these are, as I posted, you can go ahead and put it back the way it was. These are statements from Satan, under the guise of Christianity. These are not what Yahweh's word said. These are what Satan does. And what a nice counterfeit. Here's Jesus smiling. These little girls are wet because they drowned. And now they're happy to be with heaven. So if that's the case, I don't know if you saw that or not.
No, I saw it.
If that's the case, then every baby aborted by the abortionist goes to heaven to be with Jesus, right? Oh, yeah. That's what your church teaches. Think of that. That's what churches are teaching. And what made me think about this, you know, World War II was caused basically by the Nazis, but the German people, actually. And I look at Germany, and probably 90%, it's a Christian nation. It was a Christian nation. It was very industrialized. It was education. It had great, one of the best education systems in the world. And you go, how could Christian people, millions of Christian people, do what they did? Catholic and Protestants, which they did. And that was Nazism. And the church went along with it. The Catholic Church, the Protestant Church. That is what we're talking about today. So, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 11. So the point is not to look at history, the point is to look at your church and your pastor and what you've been taught compared to what this book does not teach. This book does not teach this. It teaches just the opposite. The dead, people die, they go to sleep, calls to sleep, and they're in Sheol until the resurrection. Otherwise, there's no need for resurrection. Death unites you with Jesus. But then death is good. We celebrate. We have a party. I'll kill somebody. Kill your children. Put them in heaven with Jesus. Wow. That's
bad.
Is that satanic? Let's have a look. 2 Corinthians 11. But that's taught by the church. 13. For such as these are false apostles, deceitful workers, transfiguring themselves into apostles of Christ. And who are these people? We're going to go back. Well, and no, 14, no marvel, for Satan himself does transfigure himself into a messenger of light. No great thing, therefore, if his ministers also are transfiguring themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let's just see what these false apostles were teaching. Verse 3 of chapter 11. I fear lest by any means, as a serpent completely deceived Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the single... Oh, and what did Yahweh tell Eve and Adam? If you eat of the tree, thou shalt surely die, or dying thou shalt die. And what did our adversary say to Eve is, dying you do not die. That's the same thing. You just transform into heaven. So death is not an enemy. Death is a friend. Death is where you want to go. You don't want to go to a doctor because that keeps you out of heaven. That's the Christian church. Supposedly, the pseudo-Christian church. And that is Christian in name only. And verse 4, for if indeed he that comes is proclaiming another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, that's God the Son, or of a different spirit you are receiving, which you have not received, that's God the Holy Spirit, or of a different glad message, that is this kind of message, or three gods in one, which you have welcomed, we are well buried. That's the false apostles. That's the teachers. And so we've been born into this environment. The difference is we got a book that we can read, and we actually can look at the Hebrew and Greek words. In the United States, in a lot of countries, you can't do that. But today we can, to validate what these doctrines we've been brought up. And I was brought up as a Catholic, and so I was brought up on many things. So Yahweh's word, this word is the rock. And so we're going to look at three foundations. The foundation of water. We know there's no foundation on water, which means no scripture. So the Catholic Church says Mary had the Immaculate Conception, which means she was born without sin. Is that scriptural? No. There's no scripture that says that. That's built on the water. Also, the assumption, they say Mary never died. She just ascended into heaven. They took her into heaven. Is that scriptural? No. So we can see this pretty easy with Mary. And most Protestants say, yeah, that's right about Mary. Praying to Mary as the mediator, is that scriptural? No, absolutely not. You know, there's what they call the 14 stages of the cross. Scriptural? No, it's just made up. They've just made it up. Okay, in the Protestant church, what is made up? You can pick on the Catholics now, but let's say in the Protestant church, how about the word Trinity? Made up. How about God the Son? Made up. How about God man? Made up. How about God the Holy Spirit? Just made up. No different. These are doctrines of demons. And the people who teach these are accursed, according to Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Immortality of the soul. Made up. They didn't know what the word soul is. How about throughout the whole Old Covenant, instead of Yahweh, they print the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Is the word the in there?
No.
No. They made that up. Is the word Adon or Lord in there?
No.
No. They made that up. So when they put in the Lord, that is a foundation on water. There is no scripture that does it. You know, it's just made up. They just made it up. So that is not in the text. The Lord is not in the text. Yahweh's in the text. But not this other stuff is. Now, built on the sand is a one-verse doctrine. And so we have plenty of one-verse doctrine. So there is a doctrine, and that's the one example is Matthew 28:19. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Aha, it says it right here. Let's just look at Acts 2:38 and other scriptures. It says just the opposite.
Pentecost.
That was 10 days before the day of Pentecost. You know, this is when Christ ascended into heaven. He was, you know, they saw him for 40 days. Pentecost is 50 days, 10 days later. So in 338 of Acts, and Peter said unto them, repent you, and let each one of you be immersed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, it doesn't say that, does it? 10 days later, Peter didn't do Matthew. They said, baptize, immerse in the name of Jesus Christ into the remission of sins. Well, guess what? Well, that's just one verse. Okay, we don't have to go to these other ones. Go to Acts 8:12, same thing. Acts 8:16, same thing. Okay. We're not going to there. Acts 10:48, same thing. Let's just end up with 19:5. This is all the way through the book of Acts, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that verse, we just have to set aside. We don't know what happened with it, but that's not what was done. So this will get Acts 19:5. But you can go through the rest of them. I list that for you. You don't want to be a house built on the sand. And when they heard this, they were immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No, they weren't immersed in the name of the Father. This is the Apostle Paul immersing people in the name of Jesus Christ, or in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, we know that the foundation on the rock is where we want to be built, and that's this book. So the Rotherham is going to be the closest thing you can get to the Hebrew and Greek text of consistency. And there are errors. We'll show you where the errors are. But he had to work with what he had to do because people have to publish this thing. If you become so correct, people don't want to publish it. And so sometimes you got to please men in order for them to publish it because you're going to produce a Bible and nobody will buy. Mm-hmm. So that's useless. Why are you even doing that?
Like with the name Yahweh.
But he put the word Yahweh in there. And that's 6,831 dimes. That's the rock. And not the Lord, not Jehovah, it is Yahweh. And, he's got Yahushua in here. That's the rock. We know Yahushua is the rock. We know the Torah, you know, the five books of the Old Covenant are rocks. You know, so these are foundational things. We know the great commandment is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one. But people won't do that. You know, obviously they want that. But. So, now we go into people as your pastor, a servant of man or a servant of Yahushua? So that's the question we start looking at. We're going to give an example of Samuel, the prophet Samuel. But Paul says, if I was here to please men, I would be the servant of men, not the servant of Christ, the servant of Yahushua. So if you want big crowds, you give them what they want. And that's how I get big crowds. If I want a successful restaurant, I give them what they want. I don't give them what's good for them, necessarily. I don't give them necessarily what's bad for them, but I give them what they want. And I will become successful. So the big churches, generally, why they're so large is because the sheep like what the food is. You know, it's not necessarily what it's right by any means. And we find out many times, too, that these organizations, let's just say we have now Billy Graham, for instance, it's a family business. These are not appointed apostle, prophets, evangelists, or teachers. It's a family business. And so Billy Graham put his son in charge, Franklin Graham, who's now got his son in there, who's another Graham. So you have Kenneth Copeland, it's a family business. You have Joyce Myers, family business. Josh or Olstein, what's his name?
Olstein.
What's his first name? Joel Olstein. His father had the church before him. They just handed down. You know, Moses didn't have his son take over. He had sons. He had Yahushua or Joshua take over. Because Yahweh told him Yahushua was going to be the person. So the awesome is happening, like these kingships, lordships that happen. So eyes open, family businesses, take what you can get, beware, and make sure you can see the lies, you know, the doctrines of demons. So let's just go to Samuel, 1 Samuel 2:11. And we're going to look at what can happen, which is really standard in a church. Harvard University began as a Christian university. And now it's completely anti-Christ. Yale's a Christian university, anti-Christ. Princeton University, anti-Christ. And Baylor University, Baylor is in all the United States, was a Baptist university in Texas, was getting money to do Gay Pride Day. And they were taking it until it was exposed. Baylor University, and I know TCU, which is Texas Christian University, has a mosque on campus. So where is Satan? Right in the church. Right in the universities, all these were Christian institutions. And they're all going to, Princeton University, they're all going to have divinity studies. And how the Bible is made up. That's going to be their divinity studies. But we go to 1 Samuel 2:11.
It's like going to the Nazis to learn about the Jews.
Yeah, man, but they're going to be dressed up as a set of Jews. So the Nazis are going to have locks on their hair. For Hasidic Jews, and once you deceive them, they're not a threat. You know, we'll just tell the Jews, you just submit. But let's just look at this in 2:11 through 9. 1 Samuel 2. Yeah, that's right. Well, let's just start at 1 Samuel 1:4 first. This is something I was listening to. It's very important to, on the word of promise, you can hear the word read to you or spoken to you the whole Bible 70 hours, and as you're a half hour here while you're eating lunch, a half hour when you're driving to work, a half hour every place you can be shaving and taking a shower, and you get to hear this over and over and over again. And this is what I was listening about Samuel, and I forgot Eli is a priest. Hophni and Phinehas, we know about them. These are priests. They're from the seed of Aharon, which means they're the high priest. So Eli and Hophni and Phinehas are running the church. That's what they are. So, you know, chapter 1, verse 4. And when the days came for
Second Samuel and First.
No, First Samuel. Let me see here. I thought I had it 1:4. Oh, no, it's 1:3, sorry. So then that man went up out of the city from time to time to worship and to sacrifice unto Yahweh of hosts in Shiloh. And there were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, what?
Priests.
Priests of who?
Yahweh.
Unto Yahweh. Who's running the church? And we're going to find out that Eli was a judge of Israel and a priest for 40 years. The priests are Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. These are the people teaching the church, doing the sacrifices as of today. You know, as of today. Let's go to 2 verse 11 through 19. You're like, wow. Oh, yeah. Then went Elihanan to Ramah unto his own house, but the boy remained ministering unto Yahweh before Eli the priest. This is Samuel. And the sons of Eli were what?
Abandoned men.
Those are the priests of Yahweh. Abandoned men. And they knew what? They knew not Yahweh. These are the guys running the church today. And the custom of the priests with the people was when any man offered a sacrifice, then they would come to the priest's young man as the flesh was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand and would strike it into the boiler or into the trough or into the kettle or into the pot. All that the fork could bring up, the priest took for himself. Thus it says, you say to do unto all Israel who came thither in Shiloh. But these guys don't like boiled meat. They want fried meat, roasted. Also, before any could make perfume with the fat, the priest's young man would come in and say to the person who was sacrificing, come, give flesh for the priest's roasting, and he will not take of thee boiled flesh, only raw. This is Yahweh's priest. And if the man said to him, let them at least make incense at once with the fat, then take thou as much as thy soul craveth, then said he to them, but at once shalt thou give it, or else I will take it by force. These are the priests. And so it was that the sin of the young man was exceedingly great before Yahweh, for men scorning the offering of Yahweh. These are the people running the church in 22-25. Now Eli was very old, but he used to hear all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they, and he lived to be 98, so at 40 years he started when he was 58. As a judge, how they even laid with a woman who did service at the opening of the tent of meetings. Now think of this. The priests are fornicating at the temple. Yahweh's priests. How long? 40 years. You know, he was, Eli was the priest or served as a judge. Now, how long is this happening? I don't know, but you're looking at that. 23, so he said unto them, wherefore should you do such things as these? For I keep hearing of your wicked doings from all these people. I know, but today is God's unconditional love. Hophni and Phinehas, God loves you unconditionally, so don't worry about it. God loves you, whatever you do, God loves you unconditionally. That's today's teaching. Chapter and verse? No. Nay, my son, for it is no good report that I do hear, leading into transgression the people of Yahweh. If one man sin against another, Elohim will impose. But if against Yahweh a man sin, who will intercede for him? But they hearken not unto the voice of their father. For Yahweh was pleased to put them to what?
Death.
Yahweh's priests in the, right in the church, as of today. Yeah, so we've got plenty of them around here like that.
Aaron's sons.
But here's the boy Samuel. So we're not going to cover Samuel. We know about him. Show you. Let's look at 27-34. So Eli's trying to do it. He's exposed the evil. Now here's parents. You expose the evil son or daughter. You can't do this anymore. Yahweh's going to be with you. He's going to be upset with you or kill you if it comes down to it. But I still love you. Keep coming home for Thanksgiving. Keep coming. Well, I'm not going to change, Dad. Okay. All right. I tried. No, Yahweh's going to warn him twice. So this is the first to Eli. This is the first warning. All right. 27. And there came a man of Elohim. Make sure all of us, if we have any kind of heart, if we're erroring, Yahweh is going to contact us somehow if we have a heart. You better take that contact serious. And if you don't take it serious, you might get two chances. And if you reject both of those, you could just be abandoned. And here's the first chance. And there came a man of Elohim unto Eli and said to him, thus saith Yahweh, I did indeed reveal myself unto the house of thy fathers, which were in Egypt as servants into the house of Pharaoh, choosing him out of all the tribe of Israel myself, that's Aharon, to minister as a priest, to offer upon mine altar, to perfume with incense, to bear an ephod before me. This is the position of Aharon. Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas are descendants of Aharon. Therefore gave I unto the house of thy father all the altar flames of the sons of Israel. Wherefore have you been kicking at my sacrifices and my presents, which I commanded to serve for a home? And shouldest have honored thy sons more than me. fatten yourselves with the first of every present of Israel before me. Hence, the oracle of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I said that thy house and the house of thy father shall go in and fro in my presence unto times age your body. But now is the oracle of Yahweh. Be it far from me, for them who honor me will I honor, and they who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Lo, days are coming when I will hew off thine arm, and the arm of the house of thy father, that thou shalt be no elder in thy house. But thou shalt decry distress at home, and all that shall glad Israel, and there shall not be an elder in thy own house all thy days. But any man of thine whom I may not cut off from mine altar, it shall be to consume his eyes and grieve his soul. Howbeit, all the multitude of thy house shall die by the sword of men. And this for thee is a sign which shall come upon thy two sons, upon Hophni and Phinehas. In one day shall they both of them die. This is a pretty good warning to repent. You better turn. And I will raise me up a faithful priest. And that, we'll go to that, and that was Yahushua. Now we go to 3:10. And we know Yahweh then, so he doesn't do anything about it. So Yahweh appears to Samuel as a young lad and gives him a revelation. And that's it, the same warning, and this is the second warning, 3:10. Then came Yahweh and stood and called as time after time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for thy servant is listening. So this is just great. This is who we should be. And you're going to see that Samuel stood alone. And we're going to see that because for at least 20 years after they die, the people of Israel are doing godless things. But Samuel, by himself. Now you can imagine a young man, he might be 7 years old or 10 years old, but just remember, Hophni and Phinehas, it could be 40 years old. He's 10 years old.
For dad's 70.
Yeah, but you're looking at this, and so you're looking at it, these are the priests, So somebody taught him right, like it was Eli. Let me see. 11. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, lo, I am doing a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day will I confirm against Eli all that I have spoken against his house, beginning and finishing. Therefore do I tell him that I am about to judge his house unto times age abiding, for iniquity which he knoweth, in that his sons are cursing Elohim, and he hath not rebuked them. Even after the first warning, he has not rebuked them, and he should have just cut them. You're gone. You're out. You're gone. But he didn't. So he chose his sons over Yahweh. How many people today choose their children, or their wife, or their husband, or their father, or their mother, or their brothers or their sisters over Yahweh? It's really common because God loves you unconditionally. Love the sinner, hate the sin. They just bring it right in. And that's what Eli did. Therefore have I sworn respecting the house of Eli that the iniquity of the house of Eli shall receive no propitiatory covering by sacrifice or by presence unto times age abiding. And Samuel laid until the morning and rose early in the morning and opened the doors of the house of Yahweh. But Samuel feared to tell the appearing unto Eli. And how many people today will not address their family members? How many people today will not address their pastor when you're teaching wrong? And we're supposed to be, that's in Galatians 6. If anyone errs in a spirit, in spirit of meekness, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. We are commanded to restore such a one. And so if you see anything wrong on here, write us. Contact us, and we'll look and we'll see according to the scriptures. I expect it. We should always be expecting doctrine, reproof, and correction. I love the doctrine. I just don't like the reproof. And so when somebody tries to reprove, I go away. Well, guess what?
That's what Eli did.
That's what Eli did. And who's God going to hurt? You. You better crave that reproof. And so I can correct it and get back on the right track. Obviously, he told Eli, Eli pinned him down. In 18, so Samuel told him all the words and hid nothing from him. And he said, Eli said, Yahweh, he is what is good in his own eyes. Let him do. Oh, God. This is pathetic. And it's like, well, what can I do? I chose my sons over Yahweh instead of saying, Yahweh, I repent.
Yeah.
Kill my sons. What do you want me to do with them?
Yeah.
Get the prophet back up here. You want me to do with him? I could just correct this very simply. And that's what Nathan did to David. You know, who is the man? You're the man. But you're not going to die. And then he repented. I'm the man. That's how we do it. You got to take it.
That's love.
You know, now we go to 5, verse
chapter
17.
Five.
Yeah, chapter 5, verse 17. There is no 5:17. Let's see here. Oh, but we don't have to go there, but it was 40 years. Let's see, I've got some. But it might be 6, whatever. But he ministered to Israel for 40 years. And in 1 Samuel 7:2, you're going to see, you know, they die. Hophni and Phinehas fight the Philistines. Well, we're losing it, so let's take the Ark of the Covenant, because Yahweh's with us. No, Yahweh's not with you at all. So they take the Ark of the Covenant up, and all of them die. 30,000 people are killed.
And they lose the
Ark. And they lose the Ark of the Covenant. You know, so yeah, you're going to lean on that church. You're going to lean on, you know, Mary. You got your rosary. I'm going to lean on my rosary. I'm going to lean on Mary by praying to Mary. No, that's all that is wasted. Mary's asleep. She was the mother of our Lord. She's not the mother of God, but she is the mother of our Lord. And how do we know that verse? Because the verse is from Elizabeth. She came in his brochure and said, "What the mother of my Lord saying?" So she is the mother of our Lord, but she's not the mother of God, and she's not.
She also had more children.
Yeah. And it goes on. Yeah, obviously she wasn't a virgin because she had originally yes, with. But after that, she had 5 or 6 more children. We all know that. And so then the Catholic Church completely just rejects all this because this is not what they want. So they're just making it up as they go. And so are the Protestants. The Protestants are doing the same thing.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, but the Protestants are saying, you know, with death, you just go to action for the body, present with the Lord, and you grab your one little verse, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and precious is the death of his saints. Rotham does that correctly. And it's Psalms 116:15. Costly is the death of his saints. And that psalm was to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah is writing it that he was preserved from dying. And so he's saying costly is the death of his saints. Not good is the death of the saints. But
bad.
But that's what the people will do. But 1 Samuel 7:2-4.
I'm sorry.
1 Samuel 7:2. Let me see here. And so it was that from the day the ark came to dwell in Kiriath Jearim, the days multiplied and became how many? 20 years. So what's Samuel been doing? The Hophni and Phinehas are dead. Eli's dead. The priesthood's dead. It's Samuel. 20 years has passed. And all the house of Israel went mourning after Yahweh, because you're getting beat up by the Philistines. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if with all your heart you're returning unto what?
Yahweh.
20 years you've been astray from Yahweh. Then put away the gods of the foreigners out of your midst. That is the Catholicism and Protestantism, 2 of the 3 gods. And the Asherahs, that's the sex, you know, where you got that now with the United Methodist Church. You have the Catholic Church not doing anything with abortion or sodomy. They give communion to Biden, Pelosi, You can't give communion or even have anybody in your church who is a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, you're voting for abortion and sodomy and stealing from the rich, you repent or get out of this church. Well, I'm not going to do it. Yes, absolutely right. You're no different than Eli, Hophni and Phineas. Same church, same people. Oh, that's why they become Catholics, because you don't do that. So we have a person, you know, who's, you know, homosexual, and you're going to a Catholic church because they'll accept you. God. And same in the Protestant, too. They're going to accept, you know, the homosexuals in the Protestant church now. And firmly set your heart towards Yahweh and serve Him alone, that He may deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines, so that sons of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherahs and serve Yahweh alone. 20 years later, he's been waiting. He's been waiting. And Samuel said, and this is great, you can keep reading this, but he does a great sacrifice on the hill of the Philistines, say, we've got him, we'll surround him, and we'll hit him. And Yahweh kicks butt.
Yeah.
You know, thundering came down, shattered them, and they just kicked it. Just the opposite. And that's following Yahweh. So, today's gods, what we got, are a government. And that's why the Democrat Christians, supposedly, you know, the Sino Christians, or, Christian in name only, Democrats are there because they want something from the government. Their God is the government, first and foremost, to come from them. Feed me, heal me, shape me, and whatever you do, I'll look the other way, and I won't agree with it, but just keep up giving me other people's stuff. Because remember, a government has nothing. A government only has what they take. And so if the government's giving you something, they took it from somebody else. And you're telling them to do that when they do that. So that's it. The pseudo churches. Pseudo means false. You got worshiping Mary, worshiping the Trinity, worshiping the Holy Spirit. How do you think it affects Yahweh? You don't even say the word Yahweh, but you're going to say, oh, Holy Spirit, Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
That's the Baal.
Or Jesus.
Yeah, the same way with Jesus, too, with the songs. You know, when there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:4 or 5, and then 1 Corinthians 8:6. There is one God the Father, of whom are all things, and one Lord, Yahushua Mashiach, through whom are all things, and we through Him. How much simpler can it be? It's always been that way. But no, we got this concoction. But the problem is if you go against that concoction, you know what? You're out.
Yeah.
Well, where am I supposed to go? On your own. Like we are. Well, I don't want to do that. Choose. All right? Because this life is 70, 80, 90 years. A billion years in the next life. As for me, I'm choosing the next life.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah. So Eli, Hophni, and Phineas, Yahweh's priests, were instruments of Satan. It's not Satan. It's actually Satan. And Satan is just the Hebrew word for adversary. So it just means adversary. Billy Graham was a partial instrument of Satan by his teachings that the dead are in heaven, right into his daughter. So you're an instrument of Satan. Catholic and Protestant churches are partly used as Satan's instruments. When they teach these things that are not in here, they are no different than Hophni and Phineas and Eli. The word of Yahweh is our rock. And if you have ignorance of it, you can read, and you must read it for yourself. And so when you start finding out where they say Jesus is God the Son, and you know, and you're like, all of a sudden it's, wait a minute, I just read in Ephesians, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does that verse say? What does Jesus have? He has a Father, right? And what else does He have?
God.
Oh, He has a God. Wait a minute, I thought He was God.
And He has a mother.
But He has a God. And if He has a God and He is a God, then there's at least two gods. Well, no, there's... And how easy is this to disassemble all this stuff? How about the dead in heaven? And so what I posted on these things is 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. You know, let's not be ignorant as others who sorrow. You know, and so people go to sleep, They're waiting for the resurrection. And so what this has done, we don't need a resurrection. Yeah.
Father says, I would have you sorrow not.
Yeah, it's others. Yeah, and so we don't need a resurrection because we're going to Jesus. Jesus is not coming for us as we're waiting for him. No, yeah. We're going to come to you. All right, which is all, those are teachings of demons.
I think a lot of times people, hold on,
we'll go ahead and end there. Don't want to kick a dead horse. I don't know how you pronounce that in Espanol.
Caballo.
Horse?
Kick
a dead horse.
You know what a horse is?
Yeah, caballo.
Yeah? And yeah, kick him. He's dead. Kick him. Is he going to do anything?
No.
He's not going to go. He's dead.
So we
have a figure of speech. It's like kicking a dead horse. Does nothing. Just makes your foot weary. So, I don't want to be kicking a dead horse. So, Father, we thank you. According to 1 Corinthians 14, he wants us to prophesy. Come to prophesy. So, we're going to hear from our Heavenly Father. Because Christ was tortured to give us Holy Ruach. Ruach HaKodesh. Let's utilize that. Thank you, Mashiach Yahushua, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, our Mediator. There is a Mediator. It's not Mary. It is Yahushua. We go through Christ to Yahweh. So thank you for these words. Rejoice in the goodness that I pour out upon you, because in my goodness I let you celebrate that I abide within you, and my Son gave his life in order for you to redeem you from this present evil world. So realize that you live in an evil world, and there's distractions and deceptions all around you, and you must see those deceptions according to my word, that you can avoid them and point them out and shine the light on that darkness.
Thank you.
Amen.